The One by Lillian DeWaters, Chapter 1. The Nothingness of Personality. At one time, while this world was considered material, there came into it a voice making the daring statement, "There is no matter, all is mind." Slowly truth comes to this world as though this, in itself, were a device of redemption. From the allness of matter to the nothingness of matter and the allness of mind, thence from the allness of mind to the nothingness of mind and the allness of truth is the path of device to this world. In the superb view of the heavenly world as here and now and the nothingness of both matter and mind, what might be the next step in illumination? Is there anything else separating man from truth except the belief in the reality of matter and mind? After we perceive the nothingness of the world material and the world mental, we can open our eyes to still a larger perception. We can perceive the nothingness of personality. To perceive the nothingness of personality brings speedy deliverance, for it is the angel carrying healing in its wings. It is the angel of light. It is the angel of the dawn of a new day. In the glorious vision of the One, is there any room for jealousy, for strife, slander, misunderstanding, unforgiveness? Is there any room for teacher and student, for one to be superior to another? Is there anything that I can take from you or you can take from me? Let us open our hearts wide and wider still to appreciate this stupendous message of the nothingness of personality, and let it spread like wildfire from east to west and from pole to pole until the whole earth is compelled through insight and devotion to worship the One. Let scientist and Catholic kneel together in this vision of one being, one lover of all, loving Jew and Gentile alike. Let the races calling themselves the black, the white, the Indian, bow down at this altar and see themselves as God sees them. Think you that God sees the color of a man's skin? Think you that God is concerned whether a church or a sect of people is called Methodist or Baptist? Think you that the One sees differences? That the One sees pairs of opposites? What a glorious day at hand as this great fire of insight begins to blaze and extend over this plain, and man begins to see as God sees, and man begins to look upon another as himself, for in the vision of the One, can there be another? This is a tremendous light, which if seen, accepted, and practiced, will open to one the peace and joy of heaven. Of what use would it be for one to affirm, "There is but one being," if at the same time he felt hurt because of what someone said about him unkindly, or if he felt himself unjustly treated by another? Our great need is to practice our vision, to practice our understanding. If the One is the all and there is no personality, does not this automatically discharge these deceptions called disease, fear, hate, grief? Can God be diseased? Can God fear? Can God hate? Can God be sorry? The One is not emotional, but is the stillness of spirit, unchangeable perfection. Taking away the sense of personality through insight, through devotion, comes to one as though the veil of the temple had been rent in twain, as though one expected the very ones in their graves to rise and walk about in this plain as though death had never been. In this transcendent vision of the One, we see only a great family of brethren, each the same life, the same substance, the same being. This living fire from heaven bursts into our hearts as though a sheet of lightning were seen and felt to strike us with its power and glory, touching us with its glow, its ecstasy, and its wonder. When you believe evil about another, where is your vision? When you feel injury from another, where is your vision? It is taught by the sages of the East that to be robbed by another is to be a robber in one's own heart. To be killed by another is to be a murderer oneself, which means that if one actually knows and asserts the oneness of all being, he will not see another, but will see the one self only, and herein is his protection. There are statements of truth to be held in the consciousness in priceless jewels, such as the promises of the 91st Psalm and the promises of the mighty Jesus. One might, for instance, be placed in seeming danger, his life imperiled, yet if he would declare and know, "Nothing shall by any means harm you," and let this heavenly promise leap from him as living fire from heaven, as veritable truth itself, he shall be immune, he shall not be harmed. Once one had a weapon pointed at him ready to do him harm, and at that instant he had the vision of the one being, of this man who held the weapon and of himself as being the same substance, the same being. Fearlessly and courageously he asserted this silently to himself, with no sense of personality, and the uplifted hand of the man who held the weapon remained in that position, nor could it be moved without the consent of the one who knew the truth. The knower of the truth has complete sovereignty. A man enjoying the charm of an evening's beauty and a high-powered automobile was suddenly confronted by a policeman who gave him a card with certain accusations against him. The driver, who had harmed no one, felt immediately the presence of the one and the only being. At that very instant, the card was snatched from his hand by the policeman, who turned quickly and sped away. This latter example is not set forth as proof that man should disobey material law, but as proof that when man sees as God sees, he is safe. This is the secret place of the Most High. Now, if one permits himself to act so as to injure in any way the name or character of another, he is injuring himself, for he is seeing another, whereas there is no other. With such double vision, he finds the injury that he would do another, returning upon himself, because one self is the only self there is. On the other hand, one should look upon another believing that this other has done an injustice or harm to him. He himself is the guilty one, for were his vision fixed on reality, he would see no other, he would see no falsity, he would see no injury, he would see only truth as taking place. Let us ask ourselves, is there anything that another can take from me? Is there anyone who can steal from me my joy, my peace, my love, my faith, my understanding? We can but answer truly if we base our decision upon the fact of life that God is all there is, that there is but one presence, one power, one substance, one life, one being. The cry today, as never before, is, "On the instant." The world wants something that will permit the voice to travel instantly from one side of the globe to another, a means that will transport one directly from one part of the country to another, a way that will heal another quickly of all manner of diseases, a path that will deliver immediately from dangers. What can you announce that would be nearer this end than to know the nothingness of personality and the allness of the one being? Can you see that the whole being, the great farce of evil, rests upon the belief of personality, the belief that man can be separate from God, that man can think other than God, that man can have life apart from God? If everyone on earth were seeing no distinction, no separateness, no being other than the one, Think what instantaneous emancipation this would bring, how the millennium would be in our midst. No one with a grain of understanding would accuse God of being sick, or of being sinful, or of dying, yet how many are accusing man of these very things? Therefore, to blot from one's vision one's sense of personality delivers instantaneous illumination, inspiration, healing. This is actually practicing the presence, so that if one were looking at an appearance called the devil incarnate, and he could know but one being and the nothingness of any other, he would see before him an angel of light. You have heard many times the scientific statement that there is but one man. Still, you may not yet clearly understand its deep significance. It means that inherently all men are the same. It means that actually there is no difference between one man and another. It means that God sees all men alike. He maketh the sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5, verse 45. This one being is the Father, soul, self, I am. The Holy Ghost is the light that illumines, inspires, radiates, and mirrors forth the Son, the perfect man. As the Father, self, soul is infinite, and the Holy Ghost, the illuminator, the divine reflector, is infinite, so also the Son, the reflection called perfect man, is infinite, and is known on earth as sons and daughters, or children of God. It can be clearly seen that because of the infinity of God, the Father, and of God, the Holy Ghost, we will also have the infinity of God, the Son, or perfect man. Thus, man is seen in infinite number, yet understood as one being. Jesus, the pivotal character, the miracle-working presence, stood in the midst of men proclaiming, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." If one could but place a loving hand upon the shoulder of the man digging a ditch, there could be felt a certain warmth, a loving presence, soul answering soul, or if one placed this loving touch upon the prisoner in a dungeon, this man's heart would leap, his love would respond, for in every breast abides the same spark, in every life is found the same substance, and in every heart there beats the same love. Thus, we recognize the oneness of man. O Spirit, love divine, I worship thee alone, and besides thee I see and claim no other. I acknowledge thy glory as my glory, thy light as my light, thy life as my life, thyself as myself. As thyself, myself, the one and only self, I speak forth the word of eternal reality, the word of freedom, of unity, of power, and of glory. Let him who feels that he is hereby losing his identity hearken closer. Let him who feels that he cannot lose himself listen to the divine decree. Except ye be converted, ye shall not enter into the kingdom. He that loseth his life shall find it. Only he who lays down his life is able to take it up again. And how is one to lose his life, to lose himself? By seeing the nothingness of personality. He who lays down his sense of a selfhood apart from God rises up conscious of himself as he is. Personality is man as he appears, that is, his habits, his beliefs, his thoughts, his grammar, his clothes, etc. Impersonality is man as he is. Truth is impersonal, and man is like truth. Man is therefore impersonal. Suppose one thinks, I am a great man. I have students to sing my praises over this world, asserting that I am one who imparts truth to others. My name has gone over this planet as a name of importance, as the name of one who knows and understands. What manner of man, think you, is this? The man who has lost his life is the man who cares not for himself or his personal name, but his care, his love rests wholly upon the One, like the story related in The Christ Within of the man who performed miracles wherever he walked, yet he would not allow his name to be known and was spoken of only as the Holy Shadow. When a man loses his life, what is it that he actually loses? Must he give up his home, his family, his money? Does it mean that he must renounce his joy, his business, his eating, his sleeping? No, he is not asked to give up any of these things. Let him give up his sense of a personal self. Let him lay aside the self that he believes is called John Doe and take up that self with a capital S, that is truth. Not only need he have this vision for himself, but such vision must be large enough, full enough to encompass the whole universe, so that he does not see persons as units, as separate beings, but he sees unity, he sees the One only. No matter how many persons are standing before him, he sees the One as the all of each. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Suppose one is asleep, and in his dream he finds himself stranded on an island. Vainly he looks around for a boat, but there is none in sight. He is without shelter, water, or provisions. Now, the man on the bed and the man representing him in the dream correspond to the true self and the personality. If the dream character on the island could but know the nothingness of himself, could but give up his life, dream life, such life as he would give up would be nothing in itself. For the personality stranded on the island is not a real existence, but is a suppositional one. There would be no actual process taking place, no actual change, nothing really happening, for all the time the self would be on the bed and not on the island. Thus, when the one known as John Doe gives up his personality, this is not an actual procedure, for what he gives up is his belief in a man of matter, a dream substance, a man who is separate from the real being, when there is no such man. But he goes through his device, this change that is no change, this act that is no act, this awakening that is no awakening, so that he will consciously know the truth about himself. When the man wakens and finds himself in the bed, then he knows the nothingness of the man on the island. And when man on earth comes into the consciousness of one being and his identity with this being, then he knows and understands the nothingness of the man of sin, sickness, and ignorance. With the light of understanding, we see then how futile it is to hold to personality, to believe in the personality, dream, man, rather than in the true, changeless man of God. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except, you see, acknowledge and practice that which you actually are, your labor to bring success, health, harmony, power, glory to a man of dust, a dream man, a personality man, is all in vain. It is time all of us who claim to have a grain of true understanding cast aside now and forever all criticism, fear, condemnation of others. We do not criticize and condemn God, and there is nothing else, so we assert. Then whom are we condemning? the man on the island. Now how foolish it would be for us to look at that man stranded on the island and blame him for his position. The man we would be judging would not be there. He is somewhere else, innocent that very instant, and our ignorant thoughts would but fall back upon ourselves. Likewise, when we blame others, when we fear others, when we see others, we are but placing fire on our own heads, for the man we are judging or fearing is not present where we are seeing him. He is somewhere else, perfect, innocent, that very instant. He who claims to know truth, let him live truth. Let not him who has put his hand to the plow, his vision on the white Christ, look back. For he that is double-sighted is double-minded, and let not that man expect anything from the Lord, his lordship. Fear not that in giving up your sense of self you are losing your identity, for lo, you are but finding it. You are but recognizing that which you eternally are. And which would you rather be, John Doe or the Christ self? Both we cannot be. Actually, one neither puts off John Doe nor puts on Christ. For what he is not, he cannot lose. And what he is, he cannot put on. Yet this is the way it will seem to him. It will seem as though he were putting on Christ because he has estimated himself as someone other than the one. Do you think it makes you love your friend less to know that he is the one rather than that he is John Doe? Not if you love truth. Instead, we find that our friends, our relatives, our acquaintances all mean more to us than before. Our love is richer, fuller, and is not based upon personality, but is based upon the real substance itself, so that such love is enduring and eternal. Is it beginning to be seen and felt by you what a great vision this is? What a stupendous sweep! To behold the nothingness of personality and the allness of the one being. I recall the value of this insight to me in a demonstration some years ago. My young child seemed ill with what was called whooping cough. No matter how I kept my thoughts based on truth, it seemed that the child would cough more in my presence than at any other time. One day, while she was sleeping, I entered the room and instantly the coughing began. Meditatively, I crossed the room and seated myself by the window. My eyes happened to fall upon a great maple tree directly beneath my vision, and all of a sudden, as I beheld the majesty of this tree with its thousands of beautiful green leaves waving in the breeze, a treatment leaped from me, and this treatment was a vision, a revelation of the oneness of all being and the nothingness of personality. Here was the tree filled to overflowing with leaves that were so close together that they were touching one another. Yet no leaf depended upon another for a single thing whereby to exist. No leaf had any influence over any other leaf, but each leaf was joined to the branch, and the branch joined to the trunk. This picture was so vivid to me that I instantly saw that no individual on earth depended in any way on another, nor could the life or harmony of anyone be influenced by another, for each belongs to the One. With this insight came the instantaneous healing of the child. Now, truth, revelation, vision, ever descends upon one with healing in its wings. The fire of God is in a consuming fire, and no one can feel this burning light, this quickening spirit, this descent of the Holy Ghost, without receiving the blessing. It is written that the sun shines on the good and on the bad alike, meaning that the sun is not double-minded, double-visioned. So also the light of divine illumination, the Holy Ghost, shines upon the plane called matter, as well as the plane of heaven. for truth sees no distinction, no difference. When speaking of his godhood, Jesus announced, "I am the vine. Abide in me, for without me you can do nothing." We do not see the leaves fastened to the trunk, but we see the leaves fastened to the vine, and the vine to the trunk. Now, as it was the Master himself who gave this illustration, it must present truth, and one must accept the vine, for one cannot come into the fullness of loving understanding except through Jesus Christ and his teaching. You will notice that they who love Jesus Christ love all mankind. Their hearts have received a glow, a divinity that is not present to him who has not yet felt the Master's touch. There is that bond, that love uniting those who love Jesus Christ, who understand his mission and his presence with us, that nothing else can ever bring. Those who understand Jesus Christ have their vision away from self, away from personality, and upon reality. When we worship Jesus Christ, we are not worshiping personality, but we are worshiping the One. For he claimed no goodness of his own, no glory of his own personality, but said, "Whatsoever things the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. There is none good but one." Now when we take a man or a woman of this plane and extol their names and look upon them as specially endowed by God to perform miracles, we are worshiping falsely. We are not worshiping God, but are worshiping apart from God. When we want the world to praise us, when we demand obedience from others or feel that we must be loyal to others, where is our vision? On personality. Let this light of insight blaze over all this world and into the hearts of everyone, that they may see the folly of authorized teacher, student, or literature. When we are authorized by truth, we need no other authorization. Do we read in the Bible that Jesus believed that only those whom he himself instructed should be considered reliable healers and teachers? On the contrary, turning to the Gospel of St. Mark, we find that Jesus rebuked his disciples for this very attitude of mind. And John said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him." But Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is on our part." Here it is clearly related that the disciples would have practiced what is termed loyalty to their teacher, but the matchless Jesus would have none of it. His vision was ever fixed to soul that doeth the works, and verifying this unity, he further declared, "And the works that I do, ye shall do also, for we are all the same being." Where shall we place our loyalty? Let each ask and answer this question for himself. But in wisdom, let us remember that no man can serve two masters. We cannot concede a personal teacher or an authorized student and still preserve our clear vision of one being. Is it not appalling in this day of wonderful revelation that one can believe that another has the right to control him spiritually? We would not consider having another dictate to us as to the food that we must eat for breakfast or for the manner of clothing that we must wear on certain days of the week, or how we should arrange the furniture in our rooms. Then why should we allow another to inform us regarding the spiritual books that we should read in our journey heavenward? We cannot allow others to govern our spiritual food and at the same time enjoy the presence, the guidance, and companionship of the Spirit within. This is the conclusion of chapter 1 of The One by Lillian DeWaters.